We are reading from the 4th chapter of Luke and the 9th chapter of Matthew from the New International Version. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, that is to Jesus. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And as you see, there's a little paragraph, a parenthesis there that tells you this is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. And then in Matthew 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And we could sing about that this morning, couldn't we? Actually, I think I should have gone back one verse when I started reading the reading from Luke, back to verse 16. Jesus had just returned to Nazareth from his confrontation, from his temptation by the devil in the wilderness. And this was after his baptism by John and the recognition of his sonship by God's voice and the descending spirit in the form of a dove. That was at his baptism. And so verse 16 says, "On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom." And then we read on from there. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. But I'd like to get started right here, right away. We want to pattern our lives after Jesus, right? Luke did that here in chapter 4. What he did was he observed and recorded what Jesus did. He wrote that Jesus went into the synagogue, the place where the Jews used for weekly worship, what we call a church. And Luke tells us that he went there on the Sabbath day, the day that we now recognize in Christianity as Sunday Sabbath. And so he did what we do right here on Sunday. We go to the church, we go on the Sabbath day, Sunday, and thus we do as our custom what Jesus did as his custom. Remember verse 16, on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue as was his custom. Oh, and one more thing. He took the Old Testament scroll, the older part of our Bible, and he read God's word written by one of his inspired prophets. He read a passage from that scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he declared that this passage was being fulfilled in those days in which they were living, which he quoted Isaiah had called the year of the Lord's favor. Well, you know, this was actually a bold declaration of his messiahship. Well, actually, that's what really flashed at me when I first read these words of Luke and Isaiah and was thinking about how I would bring this message to you. The words that Jesus read provided for his listeners, those that were in the synagogue listening to him that day, they provided a blueprint of his mission on earth. And there is in these words from the prophet Isaiah what we need to see and we need to respond to, a plan for the modern church to follow. as we follow Jesus. These words provide a sketch of the ministries that every Christian should provide or make available to people around us in today's world. In other words, again, as we are to follow Christ's example of making church attendance customary every Sunday, we're to follow His example of ministry. We need to understand the life and ministry of Jesus, as well as that, as well as what we properly do in connection ourselves with His death for us on the cross. We understand that. We realize that. We need to realize His ministry as well. He is the Redeemer who came to save the world from sin by dying on the cross. He is the teacher who came from heaven to instruct His followers in the way that we should think and act and serve. And He is the physician who came to heal the brokenhearted and to minister to all who suffer. That's the ministry we need to understand. Preacher, teacher, physician. In Jesus' life and ministry, we have not only a model, but even more, we have the model. The model for both for holy living and for effective service to God, and in His name, service to others. Our Lord's ministry was determined by His knowledge of the will of God and His perceptive awareness of the needs of the people around Him. He came announcing that His mission was to do those ministries prophesied by Isaiah, and in so doing, He was proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. He came on the scene not to just speak about an absentee God who dwelt in the past, rather to announce the glad tidings that God is at work in the present, doing wonderful things through Jesus and through the servants of Jesus for all of those who will trust Him. But you know, there's a hazard that many of us face, and that is the danger of pretty much thinking of God as being at work in the past or what He's going to be doing in the future without recognizing that right here and now, for you, for me, He is concerned about our present days, our present hours, our present minutes. And I'm only suggesting that we might do so that that's something that is important for us. And I'm suggesting that we try to find a way to get past that. And I'm going to suggest a way to change your mind and focus on the possibilities of what's available to us. The fact is, it's a biblical truth from the inspired authority of the great apostle Peter. In 2 Peter 3:8, he says, "With the Lord is a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day." So when Jesus announces the year of the Lord's favor, this is in God's time. What's God's time? A day is as a thousand years. A thousand years is a day. And so I think it's right that we continue to live in the year of the Lord's favor, as long as He desires for it to be so. As far as this time, our time, January 31st, 2021, being part of the year of the Lord's favor, I say, let's claim it. I know and you know that God is vitally interested in today's world, and He depends on His people to work and cooperate with Him in ministries to the world's multitudes of today. So, let's look today at what Jesus did, and with the empowerment of His Spirit, which He gave to us, indwelling us, let's do as much as we can the same as what Jesus did. Let's imitate Jesus. See, Jesus Christ took the initiative with the crowds, with the multitudes. Well, here's the thing. Christ might have set up a residence in a central location and invited the population to come to where he was. But of course, he didn't do that. And may I suggest that this has been the error of many churches. Some churches have made the great error of assuming that if they erect a nice building and invite people to come, they're fulfilling the mission of Christ, the mission that he has committed to us. And that, of course, is pretty far from the truth. As I said, what Jesus did was to take the initiative in ministering to the multitudes. Not come to me, but I'll come to you. And this is what he led his disciples to do. He had his people go where the multitudes were, and he leads us to go where they are today. He ministered in homes. He ministered on the streets. He ministered in the synagogues. Ministered by the seaside, ministered on the mountaintop, he ministered in open fields. And his was a threefold ministry. To the yearning spirit of the people, he was the preacher with a message from God. And to their hungry minds, he was a teacher sent from God. And so many times, to the physical bodies of men and women and children, he was the great physician who brought relief from suffering. To men who are blind or lame or isolated from the public because of leprosy. To women, some suffering from illnesses and some from a sickness for many years. Saving a woman from death by stoning. To children in the throes of deadly illnesses. To a child even revived from death. And so many more ways that he had this threefold ministry of being a preacher to the spirit of the people and teacher to their minds and to a physician to their physical needs. His ministry was a positive, aggressive ministry of mercy. If we want to be truly his people in today's world, we must likewise take the initiative in full ministry of Christ-like mercy to the needs all around us, to the needs of our world. You see, Christ didn't just look out at the multitudes. He really saw all of them. When Christ saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. And I think it's quite appropriate for us to try to imagine what it was that Jesus saw. He looked at this one over here and at that one over there and those two holding each other just so they even had enough strength to stand. And he suffered with each of them. And he took their pain on as only he could. And he suffered not only with them, he suffered for them. And I perceive that he saw behind the masked faces that people wore to hide their real feelings. In his heart, he was moved with empathy by their deep inward needs. He could see down into them. Needs that he and his compassionate mind physically shared and felt with each case. And today's multitudes are very similar to what they were during the days of Jesus on earth. Looking down on us, and I think that's the best way for us to imagine Jesus viewing our world today, because we know he's in heaven, he's moved with compassion for our multitudes. Today's multitudes are afraid. fear really does rule the hearts of many. Today's multitudes are insecure. Many people are living today in the world of what if, what's coming next? And so, as they are insecure, they are uncertain. Today's multitudes are pessimistic. And this is really up to date for us now. What the multitudes of America has gone through this past year and now extending into this year, we hear it more and more. People saying, I don't know when this is going to end. What more bad can come? Pessimism. Today's multitudes are short-sighted, troubled enough to just be able to live one day at a time, one day, day to day. Today's multitudes are disappointed. Well, that's a list that could get you depressed yourself if you fall in with many of those feelings and impressions. But be aware of those possibilities. Be aware of the possibility of fear or insecurity or pessimism. Determine to deal with it in this last impression about today's multitudes that I saved for last. You know, more than afraid or insecure or pessimistic or short-sightedness. I saved this. So see, that list was A through G. A, afraid. B, insecure. It was 6 points. And so here's the G. Here's the seventh point that I want to make here. Today's multitudes are objects of God's redemptive love. That's the way for us to see people. Jesus Christ would have each of us, each of his followers, really see the needy multitudes in the modern world through his eyes of loving and caring. He assures us that the eternal God of our fathers is concerned about people who live in this day as we see this time as, again, see it as the year of the Lord's favor. You see, look to Jesus. He encourages us to trust in the goodness and the grace of God and to be proclaimers of that goodness and that grace. So we as God's people are to join with the Lord Jesus Christ, who had unlimited, unchanging hope for the multitudes. We are not to give up hope. We are to continue to have it. His hope was based on his knowledge of the perfect will and the perfect purpose of God. That's what he based his hope on. That's what we can base our hope on. Jesus was motivated by the conviction that the Spirit of the eternal God was concerned about the needs of the many. I think it bears reading and hearing again, Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In Luke's gospel account, these were the first and defining words to begin the ministry of Jesus, looking forward to the multitudes that he was going to be touching. But he didn't just say that he had been sent to do. Then Christ encouraged his disciples to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest that was out there to pray concerning those crowds, those multitudes. This is verses 36 through 38 in Matthew 9. We read that. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Well, we can we do pray for the needs of those around us and for our missionaries and those that go around all over the world. And we are to continue to pray. We do that every Sunday morning. We pray for those around us. We pray for our missionaries. We're to continue to do that. And then we are to ask God to send workers out to be ready. Well, be ready when He sends you. Prayer is to be a dialogue. And we are to listen. We're not only to speak to God, but we're to listen to what the Father wants to relate to us about meeting the needs of those around us. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. We're to listen. Christ came to proclaim that we live in a year of the Lord's favor. Let's make that 2021 that God is at work through us in the world. A year of the Lord's favor. In so many ways, it is up to us. It is up to our kind, disciple followers of Jesus. If we're going to cooperate with our Lord as in a ministry to the multitudes, we must do something more than just be learners and listeners. We must become laborers. We need to labor in the field of our study, labor in the schools, labor in the offices, in the factories, in the home, and yes, labor in the pulpit. Anywhere and everywhere there is need, we are to labor. When Jesus said that He had been sent to fulfill prophecy, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, He obviously didn't mean that particular year. What was it, maybe 29 or 30 AD? He didn't mean that that was the only year that He was to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He proclaimed for 3 years, and then He commissioned His disciples, His workers, to keep on with what He had come to do. And that's for all disciples, not just those 12. What kind of workers for the harvest is Jesus calling to go alongside Him? He's calling for workers who are diligent and skillful and faithful and devout. Workers who are joyous and optimistic and engaging. Those are the kind of workers that are needed. I hope I know what you're thinking. Right. You're thinking, okay, workers, let's each of us go out into our individual world of the harvest to announce the good news that this is the year of God's favor to every person, whatever the need may be, to bring sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are captives of sin, to proclaim the word that this is now. That's what we're to do. This is now the acceptable year of the Lord. And we say, amen. Amen. Amen.